Hey, would you bow your head with me as we pause for a moment? Father, we do take a moment here to acknowledge our need for you. We realize that, Lord, apart from you, we can do nothing. We recognize, Lord, our dependence upon you, that we're weak. We know that for us to be the parents, the mothers, the fathers, to have the wisdom, Lord, to raise kids in righteousness, Lord, we require your Spirit. And so even now, Lord, in the middle of our worship service, we pause to once again rely upon you. Be here. Lead. Apply, Lord, what we hear. Encourage. Lift up, Lord, weary hands. Fill hearts. Renew spirits, Lord. May you be the joy of our life. So bless us and be here. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever said something that you've regretted? I think there are only a few groups of people that could answer no. Newborn babies that don't know how to talk. People that are born without the ability to talk. And then finally my wife. Brownie points. Father's Day is coming. I can't say that there haven't been times that I wish I could take back the words I've said. Just happened to me a couple weeks ago. It wasn't necessarily what I said, but it was what I didn't say. It wasn't that it was terrible what I said, but it was the implication that it left that made me uncomfortable. See, I was looking for a black coat for a wedding that I was going to do on that coming Saturday. And there's nothing in Grants Pass, so I decided to go over to Medford to this store over there. It's called Papillon Rouge, if you haven't heard of it. It's one of those very pricey, very stylish places. You can buy jeans there that have already been worn, that have the holes in them and everything. But unlike Goodwill, where you get them for $3, there they'll cost you $300. It's spendy, it's pricey, it's Hollywood style. But I thought I'll just give it a shot. And so I walk into this store and this gal comes out and greets me right away. And I'm really feeling uncomfortable then. She's all dressed up and I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt. And so she starts asking me these questions and I'm thinking, man, I should have just gone to Walmart. And I said, I'm looking for a black coat. Do you have anything like that? So she goes back and brings out a couple of them and I'm trying them on. And as I'm trying them on, she's making this small talk with me. And she asks me, well, what's the special occasion? Why are you buying the black coat for? And usually I'm pretty careful about the words that I choose and how I format sentences. But because of this situation, you know, I'm out of my element and uncomfortable, I just blurted this out. I said, oh, I'm marrying a guy. And she kind of, snaps her head up and looks at me and then she, and I didn't realize what I had said. I'm still just, trying to figure out how to get out of the store. And she said, oh, he must be very special. I still didn't figure it out. I'm still like, yeah, I think he is. And she goes, there's a place that I'm sure is going to be more your style. You would love these stores over here. And I said, where are they at? She says, they're over in Ashland. They'll more fit you. So I got in my car and I'm driving. I'm thinking, that was a weird conversation. And it was about a mile away. It dawned on me, oh my goodness. She thought I'm gay. I wish I could take back those words. Embarrassing. We have a mom this morning that says something that I guarantee you she wishes she could pull back those words. Open with me to the book of Matthew chapter 20. If you don't have a Bible, you can raise your hand. We'll get you a Bible. When you have it, Matthew chapter 20. Here we see a mom who says something that I guarantee she wishes she could take back. The mom, she's Mama Zebedee, the mother of two of Jesus Christ's disciples, James and John. These two guys would probably be the wealthiest of Jesus' disciples. Their dad owns a successful fishing business. They work for their dad. They had access into the high priest's courts, we find out in the Gospels. They knew the people that worked there. They were connected to the power structure of Jerusalem. They had connections. They were obviously rich, wealthy. And so this mom, Mrs. Zebedee, Mama Zebedee, she comes to Jesus and you can hear her thoughts. I don't want my boys to just be one of the 12. I want better things for my kids. They need a better position than that. And so she comes to Jesus with that kind of attitude. And it says, verse 20 of Matthew chapter 20. Then came to Jesus the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? What do you want? She said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We are able. And he said to him, You shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 verse 24 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. They were mad. What are you guys trying to work the system here? But Jesus called unto them, verse 25, and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Mama Zebedee, ambitious for her boys, loved her boys, wanted what was best for her boys, Mama Zebedee did. But she asked something of Jesus that was incorrect. That was wrong. She made a mistake. Jeremiah 45:5 says simply this, a scripture that she would know. It said, don't ask great things for yourself. Don't be doing that kind of stuff. Don't be overly ambitious. Don't do that. Don't ask those things. She made a mistake here. She asked something that was incorrect. And it gets worse, because the Bible goes on to tell us this conversation pops up over and over from this point forward. This is the final week of Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. It's called his Passion Week. And this conversation comes up again, Mark chapter 13 tells us, where these two boys now get all caught up in it. It affects them. James and John, they start talking about it, start wanting these positions. But then it comes up. On the very final night before Jesus is betrayed, the Last Supper, a time that Jesus said, Oh, I've so desired to enjoy this supper with you guys. I've been looking forward to this event when I'm going to institute communion, showing the forgiveness that comes from the cross, the brokenness that's going to happen to me. I'm so looking forward to this, Jesus would say. Well, it's in that supper, upstairs, with these 13 guys, the 12 disciples and Jesus, that they begin this argument again. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to sit on Jesus' right side? Who's going to sit on Jesus' left side? And once again, Jesus has to deal with it. Listen, I've been with you for 3.5 years. You haven't got this yet? You don't understand my mission statement? It's found in verse 28 of Matthew 20. I didn't come for great positions. I came to serve and to give my life for others. This mistake that Mother Zebedee makes pollutes the waters of Christ's final week. It's a big mistake. It's a bad thing. And as I read about Mama Zebedee, as I read this story this week, I thought to myself, Lord, why would you include this story? It seems almost cruel. She's going to go down in history as kind of a blow-it case. Overly ambitious for her boy. Overbearing. Why would you include her name? Why wouldn't you make it anonymous? Why would you include her in this? It seems cruel, Lord. Why? Why'd you do this? I believe the reason is simple. The reason why we're given this story, the reason why Mama Zebedee is mentioned by name, the reason why is because it gives to us the central theme of the Bible. It gives to us, I believe, the single most important lesson we should transfer to our children as moms and as dads. What message is that? What's the central message of the Bible? Grace. Well, how does this story translate into grace? How does it give us that message? Think this through with me for a second. If I was Jesus, Mama Zebedee asked me this question, it divided my disciples, polluted the water, ruined the Last Supper, you know what? I'd be sick and tired of Mama Zebedee. I would cancel her subscription. I would get rid of her. I'd give her the cold shoulder. That's it. This is my Passion Week, the most harsh time in history. I don't have the energy. I don't have the time to deal with you. I'm eliminating the Zebedee family. I'm finished with them. That's what I would have done. You know what? That's not what Jesus does. He shows them great grace. Doesn't cancel them, doesn't ignore them, doesn't avoid them. In fact, it seems like he makes special steps to include them again. What do you mean, Matt? First, Mama Zebedee, the instigator of this problem, the starter of this issue. Did you know that she is in the group of women that Jesus Christ first appears to after the resurrection? Matthew 28, verse 9. He doesn't avoid her. It seems like he actually includes her in. You're going to be included in the greatest event in history. You're going to witness my resurrection. That's grace. I wouldn't have done that. What about these two boys, James and John, sons of Zebedee? Jesus, right after the betrayal, right after the argument that divided the supper, that ruined the Last Supper, right after that argument, Jesus goes to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he invites 3 of the 12 disciples to come in with him to pray. Do you know who those 3 were? Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, James and John. I know you guys are arguing. I know you guys have caused problems, but you know what? Come with me. I'm including you in. I'm not avoiding you. I'm going to show you my grace. I love that. I believe Mama Zebedee, her big time mistake, the reason why she's mentioned is simply to show you and me the central message of the Bible. It's God's grace. It's God's grace. See, being a mom is tough business. There's no doubt about it. Being a mom is difficult. You have too much to do. My wife has 3 kids with a 4th on the way. She is busy. I, at times, am so glad to be able to go to work. Thank you, Lord. It's 24/7, 365. There's no break. There's no stop. There's no vacation. It's all the time. It's tough. It's overwhelming. Loads of laundry. Whatever it is. It goes on and on and on. It's difficult. It's a very difficult job, being a mom is. I read recently, and I thought this summarized it. How do you know you're a mom, was the question. How do you know when you're a mother? The answer? When you're so desperate for adult conversation that you spill your guts to the telemarketer and he hangs up on you. That's motherhood. You're around them so much, you start acting like them. They start just getting into you. It's difficult. And there is not a mother alive that won't make a mistake with all those duties, with all that stuff. We're going to be like Mama Zebedee. We're going to say things, and people will say, you don't know what you're asking. You don't know. You're making a mistake, as Jesus said in verse 22. But the number one message that I believe moms should leave with their kids, transfer to them, I don't care what age they are, 2 or 42, the number one message that your kids should leave home with is this: grace. Learn grace, kids. We're going to make mistakes. Dads are, moms are, we're all going to make mistakes. The question is, what do you do next after you make a mistake as a parent, as a mom? Do you get paralyzed? I can't discipline. I can't train because my kid took too many cookies at church and I ended up kicking him in the pants as he was going out to the car. I lost my temper. I blew my top. I can't deal with that. Oh. Do we get paralyzed? Do we give up our duty when we blow it, when we make a mistake? That can be the tendency. That's the tendency that I found in my life. See, the first time I can remember really blowing it with my kids was when my daughter was 2 years old or so, a couple of years old, Carissa. And at that time, I had a job that required me to travel quite a bit. And the night before I was going to leave on a 10-day or so trip, I noticed that my yard, there was this large area that was turning browner and browner. It was summertime. And so I decided that evening, 8 o'clock or so, to fix whatever was going wrong there. So I went out and started looking at it. Turns out one of the sprinklers was broken. And so I went in my shed. It was too late to buy anything. I scrounged all the parts I could, and I had just enough parts to fix it. And so I started digging out there. And you know, parents, what the most attractive substance is to kids? Mud. I was making mud, so Carissa was right next to me with her little shovel in hand. And so I'm scooping it out, and she's helping me by scooping it and putting it back in the hole. Scoop it out, put it back in. I dig it out. I fix the problem. It's sitting there drying. And I had to go get something in my storage shed. And so I told Carissa, stay away from this hole. Don't get near the hole. Don't mess with this. It has to dry, okay? And so I ran into the shed. I rummaged around. I came back outside, and I saw my daughter there covered in mud and my masterpiece broken in two. And I remember sitting there, and through my mind, you know, in that split second, flashed all these thoughts, all the ramifications of this. I've gone 10 days. I can't fix this. I have to turn off this whole section of my lawn. It's not going to be watered. My grass is all going to die. And I just snapped. You know how it can happen. And I just kind of yelled. I just went, ah, like that. A little louder, a little longer. And my daughter, who's very sensitive, big tears welled up in her eyes. She turned around and just ran inside up to her room. And I remember sitting down on my precious, precious, stupid grass, thinking, I'm a blow it case. And as I sat there, I remember a couple of thoughts went through my mind. The first thing was this. The first thought that went through my mind was this. I thought, I've ruined my child. She's now destined to be that hot-tempered, angry, detention-bound preschooler. She's going to be one of the special students. You know the special students that are so special that they get their desk right next to the teacher? Some of you out there have been that special student. I thought, that's what I've done to her. I've ruined her. She's going to be scarred for life. That was the first thought that went through my mind. The second thought that instantly went through my mind was this. I was paralyzed. Normally, I love to go and just read a goodnight story to my kids or make up a story there. Pray for them, kiss them, put them to bed. But you know what I found myself? I found myself being paralyzed. I don't want to do that tonight. I'm worthless. How can I do that? How can I talk to my kid? How can I share with her tonight? How can I pray for her? I'm unworthy to do that. I found myself paralyzed as a parent, inhibited, condemned, as I sat there in the grass. But then there was a third thought that came into my mind. It was a whisper of sorts, and it was this, Matt, go into your daughter's room and apologize. Go tell her you're sorry. Go confess that you're a blow-it case. And teach her about my grace. Share with her that we're forgiven by what Jesus Christ has done. Take this opportunity, the mistake that you've made, blowing your top, to apologize and demonstrate God's grace to your daughter, Carissa. And that's what I did. And of course, being 2 years old, she jumped in my arms and gave me a big hug, and everything was great. Dads, moms, we're going to make mistakes. There's no doubt about it. We're going to be overwhelmed. We're going to blow our top. The key is, the question is, what are you going to do next? What do you do next? After you've blown it, after you've made a mistake, are you paralyzed? Condemned? Giving up your duties? Checking out? Or do you take that as an opportunity to share about God's grace? That same daughter that I thought I had ruined, that I thought was going to be a special student. This last week I went to Washington, D.C. for a pastor's conference. And when I got there, I was unpacking my bags. And I took out this coat. And I noticed that there was this bulge in the front pocket of my coat. And I reached in there and I pulled out my daughter Carissa's favorite little toy dog. And so I called up my daughter. And I said, sweetie, did you put that in my pocket? And she said, yeah, Daddy. I didn't want you to have to sleep alone tonight. I just about started crying. Didn't ruin her. I used it, and I'm learning, I apologize a lot in front of my kids. I apologize all the time because I want them to know, you know what? I make mistakes. And son, daughter, whoever it is, you're going to make mistakes. Too many kids, I talk to them. Too many adults don't understand one thing, God's grace. They don't understand it. Parents that try to be superstars. Parents that refuse to apologize. And so they never learned God's grace. Be a parent. No matter what age your child is, be a grandparent that teaches your kids, when you make a mistake, there's forgiveness. When you make a mistake, you can lean on God's grace. That's the greatest thing you can ever leave your kids with. Don't be condemned. Don't be paralyzed by it. Move on from it because God has forgiven you from it. Teach your kids, moms. Teach your kids, dads. Teach your kids, parents, God's grace. Don't let your mistakes rob you of your parenting. Paralyze you from it. Don't be paralyzed by those things. Move on. Apologize. Confess. Lead them to the cross. Show them God's grace. And you know what? God, I believe, is able to take our worst mistakes, our big blow-its, and shine His grace through them. What do you mean? Well, look at Bathsheba. Big time mistakes. Adultery. Murder. She could have condemned herself for life. I'm horrible. I'm terrible. I'm never going to be a good mom. But at some point, she put it behind her. All right. I did that. I blew it. I'm moving on by God's grace. And she ends up raising the wisest son in all of history, a man by the name of Solomon, because she put it behind her. Ask Eunice. She made big time mistakes. She married a guy, an unbeliever. Not only was he an unbeliever, but she was Jewish and he was a Gentile. He was a Greek, which at that time in that culture was anathema. You didn't do that. Unbeliever, a Gentile. Her son Timothy, for all of his life, would be known as, viewed as a half-breed. Not fitting in with the Jews, not fitting in with the Greeks. An outcast. Not only that, his dad, who was never mentioned positively in Scripture, his dad wouldn't allow Timothy to be involved in religious things. Wouldn't allow him to be circumcised, which was the norm of any Jewish child. No, I don't want that for my son. He doesn't need that. Eunice could have condemned herself for 18 years. Look what I've done to my son. He's called a half-breed. He's made fun of. But at some point, Eunice said, you know what? I got to put that behind me. I got to put that behind me. I got to move on. I'm going to take care of what I got to take care of today. I'm going to apologize to Timothy for those mistakes I made. I blew it there, son. But I'm going to teach him about God's grace. I'm sorry that you're made fun of. I'm sorry that people do that to you. But listen, listen. Let me teach you about God's grace. Read the book of 2 Timothy. It talks all about her. And here's the cool thing. Timothy, half Jew, half Gentile, not fitting in, taught about God's grace. Paul comes along, Acts chapter 16. Paul, the guy that ministered to Jews and Gentiles, both people, he comes along, he finds Timothy and says, what? Your dad was a Greek? Your mom was a Jew? You're both sides? You understand both cultures? Oh my goodness, you're perfect for the ministry. Come with me. He grabs Timothy, and Timothy, because of those qualities, made from a mistake by his mom, because of those exact qualities, he goes on to be one of the greats of the early church fathers. There is never a sin mentioned of Timothy. Because his mom at some point said, yeah, I made mistakes, but I'm forgiven of them. I'm not going to let those things paralyze me from being a parent. I'm going to move on from them, and I'm going to teach Timothy about God's grace. And Timothy goes on to be one of the greats in ministry. Moms. Teach your kids about God's grace. They're going to make mistakes. Teach them that God's forgiven them. Teach them that they can move on from those things. Teach them that God can use those mistakes, what you meant for evil, Genesis 50, verse 20. God intended it for good. He can take our mistakes and redeem them. Teach your kids about grace, number one. And number two, always trust in God's grace to redeem our mistakes. See, the Bible says this. It says, for we know, not we hope, not we think, not maybe. It says, for we know all things, not the good things, not our successes, all things, for we know all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purposes. Mama Zebedee, you made a mistake. But because of God's grace, I'm going to show up to you in the resurrection. Because of God's grace, I'm going to include your boys in my final time of prayer. For we know all things work together for good to them that love God are called according to His purposes. Moms, be encouraged this day. Don't grow weary in well-doing. If you've made mistakes, put them behind you. If you're making mistakes, apologize. Tell your kids you're sorry and teach them about the grace of Jesus Christ. The most important lesson they can have for the rest of their life. A lesson that will take them further than anything else they can know. God's grace. Father, may we be a church where our children truly get grace. Undeserved, unearned, unmerited favor from you. That we make mistakes and say things that are wrong. You don't exclude us. You're not angry with us. You don't kick us out. But instead you include us. And you draw us closer by your love. Oh, Father, I pray a special blessing upon moms this day who shoulder so much of the responsibility of raising this next generation. I pray, Lord, that you would show each mom great grace. That they would never be inhibited or condemned by their past. But Father, that they would realize and trust in your grace that you're going to use it for good. You're going to redeem it. And may their children grow in grace. Bless them. Anoint them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. God bless you guys.